I am loving.
I am fabulous.
I am beautiful.
I am saved.
I am a victor.
I am faithful.
I am devout.
I am accepted.
I am a Christian. I am MCC.
And I am MCC.
I am MCC.
I am MCC.
And I am MCC.
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 Our reading is from John chapter 11, verse 17 to 44. When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him?" But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" And Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go."
This is Reverend Joseph San Jose, Open Table Church. I hope okay pa kayo. Kamusta kayo? I hope we are still holding on sa quarantine na ating nararanasan. And so, kung napansin nyo rin, itong message natin for this Sunday, ang recording ay mas maliwanag. No? I decided to record the preaching on a morning, well, actually afternoon na, this afternoon instead of previously nare-record ko siya ng madaling araw eh. So, let me read to you my message for this Sunday. And the message for this Sunday comes from the lectionary reading of John chapter 11, verse 17 to 44. The Gospel of John chapter 11, verse 17 to verse 44. So in that story, we can certainly relate with Martha and Mary in our times of tragedy. We can say to God, "If only you were here. If only you have come or arrived soon." Maririnig natin, no? We can hear the sad yet resentful tone of the question that Martha and Mary asked Jesus nung finally dumating si Jesus. The question can also be translated or asked in another way. Why were you not here? Why were you late? Where were you, Lord? The other Jews that were there comforting and consoling Martha and Mary also asked another question, equally loaded. If he can heal a blind person and make him see, certainly he could have prevented Lazarus from dying. The question, their question, also begs other questions like, why did he not? If we translate their question, why did he delay in coming? The questions of Mary and Martha and the other Jews, certainly the emotions behind them are the same questions and emotions that we continue to ask and experience today as persons and communities of faith during tragic times, especially now during this pandemic. We really don't have, I would say we really don't have enough answers for the mystery and the overwhelming pain of grief, tragedy, and death, of human suffering and sickness. The most common and frequent answers that most Christian leaders give today and for the several years and decades all fall short. Or worse, they offend not only those wrestling with the grief, but also offends the one that they try to speak in behalf of. Giving answers such as God is in control, God allows things for God's purpose, it is God's will. These theologies, at best, are insufficient. Insufficient to comfort or give hope. And at their worst, such theologies add injury to both God and the people who are struggling. Trying to give such answers, this kind of answers, doesn't really answer the hard questions. And I might ask, should we even answer such hard questions? Why does God heal others and not the ones who died? Why does God let others live and others do not? These are the hard questions we must all wrestle with as persons of faith in the face and the reality of human sickness and suffering, especially during this time of the corona pandemic. I won't claim to give an absolute answer with such arrogant assurance and certainty. I don't know, and I am one of those few people who actually reject those previous answers of other religious leaders. I do not subscribe to them entirely. All I know, and the only thing I know, is that in this story, and indeed in the whole life of Jesus, Jesus knew our suffering, sickness, and pain. He knew our suffering because he shared our suffering, sickness, and pain. And in his humanity, he tried to heal, restore, and liberate as many of his people as he could. He knew of human suffering. He himself suffered. Jesus, in this story, wept for the one he loved. Jesus wept and wrestled with death, with the death of his beloved, as we heard in the story. Jesus himself wept his own upcoming suffering and death when he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. And certainly, this I know, Jesus cries with us. And Jesus Christ like us in the face of death. Jesus, like any vulnerable human, cries Jesus felt the deepest layers of loss, abandonment, and even he himself died alone. What then are we to make of the resurrection of Lazarus and indeed the upcoming celebration of Easter given this pandemic? What are we to make of resurrections and Easter stories in the face of death, especially today, as of today, 22 deaths in this pandemic? And there will be more when by the time that we come to Easter. 22,000 people died so far. Alone, they died alone and was cremated alone. Their families and friends also had greater grief and loss for losing their loved one from afar by not being there when their loved one passed. If we pray hard enough, will God raise the 22,000 people to life upon our request, the same way Jesus did with Lazarus? No, I don't think so. Other than the miraculous raising of Lazarus, what can we draw from this story? What does it mean to say that Jesus is life itself, and alive, that Jesus is alive raised unto God? We are reminded by the New Testament scholar Marcus Borg, echoing the Apostle Paul, to live and die in Christ is to be raised into the life of God. Borg, echoing Paul, says that we live, breathe, and move in God. And in death, we die into God, and there live forevermore. Paul tells us that nothing separates us from the love of God, not even death. There is not a single moment that we are not in God. All of us and our loved ones will pass through every kind of sickness and pain, physical, emotional, psychological, and ultimately all of us will enter the tomb, will enter the grave, both figuratively and literally. But through the various phases and transitions and journeys we go through, even through Calvary and the cross, even unto death itself, we live and die into God. And that is okay. It is okay to cry. It is okay to even be angry. We pray that each one of us, with all of our fears, anxiety, and struggles, may overcome this COVID-19 pandemic. We will do all that we can and all that we are able to survive and overcome this pandemic together. We will also do what we can, give what we can with each of our situations to be able to help each other, especially those who are in the most, especially those who are in most need amongst us. At the same time, we must also come to terms with the probability that ourselves and our loved ones may come face to face with this virus. We must hold each other ever more strongly with persistent hope. Cry if we must. Cry for ourselves, our loved ones, and for the 22,000 who are dead or more. Question and ask God in prayer with all of our doubts, sorrows, and even anger. Yes, it is okay to ask God. It's okay to question God. It's okay to be angry at God. If that is the way that we may find hope, comfort, and life. We will struggle and we will wrestle with our tragedies, waiting for the coming of the Lord. And so may God, who is ever present, and in whom we live, breathe, and move, bless you all and keep you. And may Jesus, who cries with us, and who cries like us, give you comfort and hope, now and always.